You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
I just Googled ET porn.
Oh, dude, you shouldn't do that. You should not do that.
Everybody, welcome back, and we are here for our Halloween extravaganza. How's it going, Blaine?
Oh, man, super spooky. Actually, it hasn't really felt like Halloween until, like, last night was, like, the first time that I actually felt like, okay, it's getting to be about that time. For some reason, this year has been, like, in continuing our old man weather conversations, it hasn't felt like Halloween, man. It's been either, like, super rainy or, like, super hot. But it's finally starting to feel like Halloween, and thank God, because it's like two more days, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I don't completely understand that, because I live in the Northeast, and it's been a little bit cooler. But I do think it's been a weird one for me, too. Although, I think my biggest thing is, like, I haven't had the time to invest in doing Halloween-y things I like to do. I've just been really busy. Like, I haven't talked to you all week, dude. It's crazy.
I know, man. It's been so long. I wonder if we'll be able to keep this conversation going, having not spoken like 8 times already this week.
Yeah, or like 8 times today. But yeah. So we have a special guest with us today. And I guess I probably don't need to say much. Instead, it's Blake Myers, who I know everyone here knows. He's a very famous individual. But I'll let him tell us a little bit about himself. Blake. How's it going?
Happy freaking Halloween, fellas.
Happy Halloween.
I'm so excited to be here this fine evening. You know, we're running the Buried Alive Film Festival down in Hotlanta, having some fun. And, you know, I think it's starting to feel a lot more like Halloween because the leaves on the trees are changing.
Oh, it's always so nice, isn't it?
You know, so beautiful and autumn-esque. And, you know, it's starting to feel creepy. I'm excited, you know. And also, last night we had our cinema challenge drawings for the Buried Alive Film Festival, and a lot of people get excited about making their very own horror films. That feels very Halloweenish.
That's what kind of brought it out in me, because I was like, I've been kind of bummed out lately. It felt like, I feel like I've seen all the horror movies I ever give a shit about watching. So, like, yesterday I was like, ooh, kindred spirits and nice weather outside talking to people about their weirdo horror movies they're going to make for the festival. That's like kicked me into gear, man.
Yeah, the horror
nice, nerds
come
nice.
Off their horror bride.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, so I unfortunately, being several hours away, wasn't at this wonderful event. But what I would like to ask you, Blaine, since you brought it up, folks who are who've listened to our podcast have definitely heard of Buried Alive, because we talk about it a lot, because Blaine's been part of the festival for a few years. I've been, you know, part of it now for just going on my second year. And, you know, and you've, you know, obviously been part of it forever. But, yeah, what I wanted to ask you is, what is this cinema challenge that you were talking about?
Well, the cinema. Yeah, Blake, why don't you handle this? Because the cinema challenge is really your baby.
Oh, it's my baby. Well, you know, years ago, I was a judge at the 48-hour film horror festival, and I participated in 48-hour film festivals. And you know what? 48 hours is not enough time to make a good movie. And usually by the end of a 48-hour film festival, you want to kill everybody you've been working with because you haven't been sleeping. And the movie sucks. So I thought, you know, a lot of people like doing this. Why not give them 13 days? 13, because that's evil. It's unlucky. It's a good number. Also, you know, why don't we call it S-I-N-E-M-A challenge? Ooh, because you're doing sins. Cinema challenge. And so what we do is we make people draw a genre of horror, and then we also have them draw from a deck of Cards Against Humanity cards. And so they have some weird random thing they have to throw in the movie, and then they got to produce a horror film in 13 days, and we make it the first movie of the festival. And that whole screening is nothing but films that are made by people in Atlanta who love horror films, and it's always a blast. It's insanity.
So is it like a variety of people who participate, from like super amateur to like pretty pretty like indie film people who are actually like been doing it for a long time? Is it a big wide variety?
Yeah, totally. It's a variety of some people. It's like, hey, I just like making videos. Me and my friends thought we'd do this. And then we got some people in there, like, you know, they work professionally in the film industry that get involved, and all different sorts of levels. And but everyone brings their A game. Everyone, you know, it's amazing to see what people pull off. It's hilarious because, you know, you never know when you're going to get a great genre that fits your style perfectly, and then you'll pull out something like a burrito full of nothing but sour cream as your subject, which no one got, but we wish they would.
Yeah, it's all I want to do is see somebody draw that Card Against Humanity, because that's kind of my dream film. And I feel like it would win no matter what. But yeah, no, I love the amount of variety. And also, like, the one thing I've noticed over these past 3 years is the quality, how it's drastically improved every year. Because I remember the first year it was impressive, mainly because the amount of time they did. Like, I remember last year I was like, man, these are good enough to be in the festival. And I mean, and the winners are in the festival. I mean, but most of them were good enough to be in the festival. And I was just floored by the way how well people are improving along this festival, because we have so many people who do it year after year as well.
Yeah, you definitely see people come back with better films every year. And so right now, if you're in Atlanta and you're seeing some people make a horror film, I bet you there's 18 teams out there making films for our festival. Probably one of those low-budget, weird, crazy people out there making a movie is making it for Buried Alive.
That's so awesome.
Come on, throw something at them, call them a bunch of weirdos. Give him a good time.
Definitely want to make sure you're throwing things at them.
Yeah, preferably don't hurt them, but like throwing things that would, yeah.
I mean.
So with that in mind, we're going to come back to the festival and spend a little time on that before we wrap up today. But each of us picked a horror film or a Halloween film, maybe not necessarily horror. In the case of Blaine, I don't know if I would call yours a horror film. But I think that they're very – I think it's a comedy. It's a really good comedy. I really like your film, so relax, okay?
All right.
Based on Halloween.
Yeah, I liked it. In fact, I probably liked it the most, so shut the fuck up.
All right.
So anyway, but what I was going to say is we all picked a Halloween-themed film to discuss, and I kind of figured we could launch right into discussing the picks that we made. Thank you. Yeah, so, of course, I'm bad at these dates. We'll go chronologically, but I don't remember which one comes first.
Trick or treat!
Oh, so we start with my movie. All right, well, since I already, Blaine showed his hand a little bit on how he felt about this one, I guess I will let Blaine introduce it by reading the wonderful, and I know it's wonderful even though I haven't read it, just because I know they're always wonderful, IMDb, you know, entry on this film.
Yes, it is a bullied teenage boy is devastated after the death of his heavy metal idol, Sammy Kerr. But as Halloween night approaches, he discovers that he may be the only one who can stop Sammy from making a satanic comeback from beyond the grave. I want to note that the word Halloween is spelled H-A-L-L-O-W-E apostrophe E-N. I don't know why, but it is.
That's an interesting spelling.
Halloween?
Oh, you're supposed to say it like you're in Disturbed. Halloween! Or something like that, right?
That's rough. That's rough.
I can't do it, man. That's why I went high, because when I try to do it the right way, it like hurts my voice.
Yeah. This is one of those movies where I appreciate all the things that surround it. I always love seeing t-shirts about this movie. I love always asking people when they clearly talk about the anthology film Trick or Treat, and I always go, is it the one with Ozzy Osbourne? I like all that way more than the movie. And not because, I mean, and I like the movie just fine. But to me, like, it's fun in a lot of ways. It's got like that great like 80s aesthetic when it comes to like heavy metal will ruin your life. But for me, this is like the lowest out of like, for me, the quadrology, whatever they call the alien thing for a long time. Out of all those like satanic metal movies that came out in the 80s, between this, Rocktober Blood, Rock and Roll Nightmare, and Black Roses, this is definitely my least favorite out of the bunch. I mean, I'm just putting it out there. We should have done Black Roses.
I don't feel like Black Roses is quite, I mean, as Halloween-y for me.
There's nothing Halloween about it. It's just fun.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, like, I have every intention of us covering Black Roses when we inevitably do some, like, black metal episode or something. But, well, it's not really, but metal, whatever. You know, but this one is a Halloween movie. I love this movie as a cheese, like, factor fun movie. I'm not going to go out there and say this is a great film. It's not. I mean, like, there's really nothing about it that is great, except that it is Skippy from Family Ties as a metalhead. And I was realizing this on this go, that the actual plot, if you care about plot, which I don't think this movie cares that much about plot, but the actual plot of this film is basically the same as Rob Zombie's Lords of Salem in a lot of ways, which is weird, but it is. You know, do you get what I mean by that? Like, it's about this like demon who wants to play this song over the radio so that it'll actually like take over everybody. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Of course, this movie is just far superior to that one. No, I'm just I can't even say that with a straight face. They're both weird movies that are uneven. This particular movie is just a lot of fun to me, but it's not a good movie. I mean, that's what I have to say. It's a really fun, cheesy movie. And it makes me feel like, you know, very Halloween-y. I enjoy it as a Halloween film.
I wanted to say, I think Trick or Treat's main problem is that it pretends every once in a while to care about the plot. And it's like, you just let yourself go and enjoy the gimmicks and the antics of the film, but they keep coming around going, oh no, but he has to do this and he has to be here and here's what's going to drive the story forward. It's like, you know, you just got me at like satanic dude and demon rocker guy. I mean, I don't care about the plot. Just provide me with a bunch of fun kills and weird stuff. Why is it that he can control electricity? Why is that his superpower? I don't care. But, you know, it seems like it keeps coming back to his relationship with that girl. It's like, I don't care. Or the kid that helps him out and saves the day and gets electrocuted. I didn't care about any of that. But you know what? It did have fun ideas. It just didn't go as evil as it should have. I think it was still trying to get that hard PG-13.
Yeah, because that's the thing about this movie is there's no teeth to it. That is the big thing with this one. They're like nothing. Like you said, it's more like a hard PG-13 rather than like a full-on like evil rated R movie. Which I think that going back with stuff recently, like with what was the one from a few years ago, the metal one that was kind of a ode to Evil Dead, but also had the metal
Deathgasm, which is fucking great.
Which like Deathgasm to me is like the corrected version of this kind of film. where it's like, oh, all the shit I wanted to fucking see in the movie was in those movies. This one promises a lot. It just doesn't, like, it doesn't go beyond. But I do see it. I mean, and I agree, like, as far as, like, Halloween movies, like, dude, yeah, it totally gets me, like, excited, and I do enjoy that side, but, like, to me, it's
where,
like,
else do you get to see Ozzy Osbourne as a preacher, though, man?
I don't care. I have no affinity.
That was awesome. That was great. But it was unfortunate, I think, that Blackie Lawless turned down the role.
Wasp.
I mean, there should have been more heroin shot in this film. And if you would have Lawless, there would have been a lot more heroin in this film. But he said, if you're not going to use Wasp, I'm not going to be in the fucking movie. So, whatever.
That's kind of funny.
The soundtrack rocks. I actually, like, checked out Fast Track. But this band's all right. I mean, for 80s, you know, fun metal, it's good times. And what was it? Gene Simmons read the script and was like, yeah, I'll be the DJ. He's only got one scene. I don't want to do anything else in this movie.
He's like, how much could you pay me to do one scene? Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, I only do one scene because the rest of the time I got to get paid to be Kiss, and I get paid a lot of money to do that.
Yeah.
Dude, and
he probably still got to come bang a bunch of chicks on set, and then he was good.
Of course he did.
Yeah, because this is one thing I wanted to ask you guys, as far as, like, these sort of, like, rock and roll, kind of like 80s metal sort of, like, stunt casting. Have either of you seen the film, I think from the same year, called Monster Dog, from Claudio Fragrassi?
I've not seen it, but correct me if I'm wrong. That's the one that features Alice Cooper prominently.
Yes, Alice Cooper is like he's probably like third billing in the film. I was really just and basically they're like trying to shoot like a heavy metal music video, but like a pack of like satanic dogs keep attacking them, and it's like about the same quality as this film and maybe the next. But, like, I don't know, as far as these sort of, like, metal, like, 80s metal movies, dude, this one is just so batshit crazy. I was just curious if either of you had seen it.
It sounds like one I need to see, yeah.
Yeah, it's something I want to see. I love the title. It sounds great.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's incredibly fun. But the whole time I was watching it, I kept going, man, I want to watch Monster Dog.
Who else is in it besides the Coop?
Nobody that I can name off the top of my head, but it's mainly Alice Cooper.
I love it.
I'm trying to remember what else. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Hey, I love Alice Cooper in his little role in Prince of Darkness.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, he's great. Yeah,
What I always found funny though? I always found funny that, like, he's on a poster and he's like billed like he's a big character in that movie, and it's like, yeah, no, he's not in that movie all that much. But, you know.
Yeah, and it's from, and this film is from the director of Air Bud, A Dolphin's Tale, A Dolphin's Tale 2.
Did you not bring that up? Did you have to say that?
Well, I mean, Air Bud is awesome, all right? So don't even fuck with Air Bud. But I'm not going to get behind the Dolphin's Tale movies.
Man, I love WrestleMania. It's about a Jack Russell Terrier.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
he's gonna win WrestleMania. It's called WrestleMania. Get it?
You guys should do a podcast about animal movies.
Oh man, I would love talking animal movies.
We're gonna do a spinoff. We're gonna do things like a talking cat, and we'll have the Eric Roberts guys on as a special guests.
Dude, all right, we're not gonna go down that road because I want to talk about all I want to talk about now is just talking animal movies.
All right, hey. we'll come back later and talk about Racing Stripes. So our second movie, as we transition into these great 80s classics, our second 80s classic, Blaine, why don't you read us that lovely IMDb for Hack-O-Lantern?
Okay. This one is hilarious because tell me if this sounds like the movie at all. A kindly old grandfather is actually the leader of a murderous satanic cult which sacrifices its victims on Halloween. Part of that seems correct.
Technically.
Kindly old grandfather?
Well, yeah, he's never kindly. Nothing about him is ever kindly, dude.
He's pretty nice to the main guy.
He's nice to him, but I mean, when he's not like molesting the rest of his family.
Yeah, when he's not raping and impregnating his daughter. Yeah, you know, that's good.
Yeah. Well, I know this was picked by our guest. So, Blake, why'd you end up picking Hack-A-Lantern Man outside of that awesome cover art?
I never heard of it. So, this sounds neat. I've never seen this. I mean, no one's ever talked about this one to me before, so let's check this out. And then when I did some research on it, I saw that it stars High Pike. And he starred in one of my favorite films ever, Dolomite, as Mayor Daly. And then just kind of went down the rabbit hole on some things about the movie. And I was like, this sounds like something different. And just jumped into it. And this movie, you know, for a movie made in 1988, it really feels like a film that should have been made in 1979. And it just it's got some balls to it, you know. People getting naked, people getting killed. There's some great kills in this movie. And people humping on piles of dirt in a graveyard with dead bodies in them. I mean, it's raunchy. That girl's tattoo on her ass.
He keeps washing so off.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, this movie is made at breakneck speed. And I went and got the Blu-ray for it, and it had an interview with the director on a public access channel, which was hilarious and so straight out of 1989. And he's a pretty well-respected director from India who came to America to make it in the big time, and he ended up just making a bunch of erotic thrillers and Hack-A-Lantern.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing, because I had picked up a few years ago, just like a random grab, was the Jigsaw Murders, which is just about the same level of, like, I want to say incompetent, but I don't mean that in a negative way. Does that make sense? Like,
I'd say it's
no, that makes a lot of sense.
I think it's incompetency on the role of the producer, who's like, yes, we can make this. I don't have nearly enough money, but we can make this, sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I guess misguided should be a way to describe it, because Jigsaw Murders is also another, like, very misguided film to where, like, you could tell, you know, they just, like, ran through making this movie. They're just like, no matter what problem came up, they're like, we're going to shoot this scene. But no, like, Hack-A-Lantern for me, like, this is something that I remember the dude that runs Massacre Video, I had ran into him at an event, and he was talking about it, and he was like, Blaine, you got to check this thing out. It's so weird. And I went years without watching it. I just still remember that conversation. And so I was super pumped when you're like, hey, let's watch Hack-A-Lantern, so I could finally get my eyes on it. And dude, I fucking love this. I thought it was so much fun. It's so strange. You and I talked about this a lot yesterday. Just that scene, like, first of all, the girl's like banging her best friend's brother. After she bangs him on the mound of dirt in a graveyard, which he's also the deputy, she takes back the sister to show her where she fucked her brother. And then,
yeah,
like,
I fucked him right there.
Yeah, and they show the mound of dirt, and it's like massive, and it like just totally looks like a body buried under there. And did anyone else think that woman looked like Terri Schiavo?
Yes.
Yeah. Every time I looked at her, which my girlfriend did not like me referencing Terri Schiavo the whole time, but she, honest to God, looked like a pretty, how do I say livelier in a way that's not poor taste? Terri Schiavo. But yeah, no, this movie is super sleazy. Like, I have this weird suspecting that this movie wanted to also be, like, the sleaziest faith-based film. Because... Did either of you kind of pick up on that? That it kind of had that? I don't know. Like, there's like no bad language. There's like, it's very like defined how bad the devil is and everything like that. It kind of hit me like a super sleazy version of a faith-based film.
Interesting. And
I didn't get the faith-based of it, but from all the people getting naked and getting stabbed in the neck.
I know, that's what's so weird about it. Like, but I still got those vibes.
You know, I think it's interesting how it has kind of a through with our last film we talked about, how it's got that heavy metal, like, Satanic Panic kind of thing going on still that was prevalent in the 80s, where the the main guy, Tommy, he's sitting there daydreaming while he's listening to his tape about being in a heavy metal band, and he's like the backup rhythm guitarist to the voodoo lady who shoots eyes, and like, what the fuck is going on? That was like some good filler right there. What can we shoot in a black room where we don't need a, just some people who want to be in a movie that we don't actually have to pay them?
Yeah, no, I thought that was a fantastic way to use those times. Because let's be honest, this movie's got a lot of padding in it as well. Like a lot of like chase scenes that don't need to be chase scenes, like towards the end especially, where we're just following a character running in real time through the woods.
And you're like, hey, we can't release this movie straight to video unless it's at least 73 minutes long.
Yeah. And they stretch it to a full 87 minutes, so I will give them full credit there. But yeah, no, that's but get back to it. Yeah, no, I think Devil's Son by DC LaCroix, which I have not been able to find very much information about this band online, is the best song out of all three of these movies.
Here's a question. Do you pronounce it DC LaCroix, or do you pronounce it like the hipsters pronounce LaCroix?
LaCroix.
Well,
I'm an American, so I say LaCroix, and I also like the owner of the actual the drinks that I was referring to is indignant that it's LaCroix, not LaCroix, because he's from America.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, bro.
I think it's funny to say LaCroix because whenever I say that, people try to correct me. And I say, I don't care.
I don't care. It's bubble water.
It's seltzer, man. I like seltzer.
It was interesting to know that the guy who played Tommy in Hack-O-Lantern, that was his first film ever. And he's gone on to a career working almost every single year, even up till today. I have not watched the TV show Bosch. But he is.
I've never heard of the TV show Bosch.
It's only been on for 5 seasons, and he's in like 100 episodes or something.
That's crazy.
He's always in. He's also a reoccurring character in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh well, then I would know him. All right.
Yeah, he plays Luther.
He plays.
Oh Luther. No shit! He's Luther. Ah, that's great. That is great.
To be an actual actor from being in this movie.
Wow. So I just watched Luther's first movie. I'm pretty happy about that. All right. So my opinion on this movie was, I literally wrote in my Letterboxd entry, I'm giving this 3 stars because I feel like I really should love it, and it probably should be like a 4-star film for me, but I'm in a shitty mood, so I didn't really like it. So that's literally what I wrote about it. And Blaine and I have had this conversation on other episodes where it's like, you know, sometimes you're affected just by like the mood you go into watching a movie. But like, I'm watching it going, why am I not enjoying myself? This is so like my kind of movie. And yet I wasn't. So I'm excited to revisit this when I'm feeling less like an asshole in the future. Drunk. So what was that?
You mean drunk or high?
Oh, you're right. That's a good point. I should have been. Well, the timing of the day that I watched this, if I was drunk, would have been a problem. So I'm glad that I wasn't drunk. But I will say, in the future, that's probably the right way to go. So I appreciate that input.
Yeah. Speaking of
45 minutes, I was just finishing my 4th beer. I was trying to drink them as fast as possible.
And speaking of drunk or high, have you finished Confessions of a Teenage Satanist? Justin, we were talking about your review the other day, just yesterday.
No, because I haven't been able to spend the time getting drunk enough. I will at some point do that, and I will probably have a great time. I did show the best scene in the world of any movie ever, like the opening scene of that movie, to my wife, and she did also really enjoy it in the same way that I did. So I'm excited to see that. Speaking of weird faith-based movies that do things that don't feel quite faith-based, like gangster raps and stuff. But anyway, I would say, coming back to Hack-O-Lantern, that I definitely think it's a fun movie for sure, and definitely the sleaziest of the three that we watched. And for that, I'll give it a nice big thumbs up.
And, you know, one other thing to point out, two of the actresses in Hack-O-Lantern went on to act and also one produced Cannibal Hookers.
Really?
Yep. Maya Grant, the producers and stars of Cannibal Hookers, and Katrina Gardner was also one of the stars of Cannibal Hookers, a classic.
Dude, that's awesome. I did not realize that. I have to admit, I just kind of assumed that these women just went back to, like, whatever waitressing job they had during this film. And I was very happy. I'm happy to hear that they went on to do other great films like Candid Love.
I love that you couldn't even finish that statement. Other great films like, and then you started cracking up.
Hack-O-Lantern is one, the only one of the three movies we watched that was produced in Hollywood. So, you know, everyone here thought they were actors and filmmakers and whatnot.
Jesus,
everyone here thought they were actors and filmmakers.
I need that Blu-ray because, yeah, that's a lot of things that I did not guess. I just kept assuming that, like, a city just somehow discovered, like, I don't know, like, $100,000 and were like, we're making a movie. Because that's what it feels like. And also, I want to note that everyone in the movie, for some reason, looks kind of related. I don't know why they cast that way. But, like, even people that aren't, like, supposed to be related, everyone's just kind of, does everyone kind of look the same to you guys in that movie outside of Terry Schiavo?
Outside of Terry Schiavo, yeah.
They all look like 80s people.
Yeah, yeah, they all look like, but, like, regular people in the 80s. Like, nobody looks like an actor.
And supposedly the Internet Movie Database says the budget on that movie was $5.5 million. And I don't see how that. You spend that much money, and that's what you get.
Yeah, that must have. This must have been like some sort of tax shelter or something.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Hack-O-Lantern is such a better title because they were calling it Halloween Night.
Yeah, Halloween Night was. In fact, it was released at one of the times it was released. It was as Halloween Night.
That's such a bad title.
That's a bad
name. It's a really bad title, yeah.
Hack-O-Lantern lets you know exactly what you're getting into. And by that...
That's true.
I mean, it's Hack-O-Lantern.
All right, well, we're going to fast forward all the way, like, 20-some-odd years to our next film. And Blaine, tell us about your selection.
Ooh, this is Satan's Little Helper. I have referenced this movie, I don't know, 25 times over the course of this podcast.
At least. Yes.
This is one of my favorite movies to watch every Halloween. I think it's fucking hilarious. I think it's clever. It's super playful and hard not to love. It is 2004's Satan's Little Helper. By far, some of the best early 2000s cover art you will ever come across. And the IMDb is super fucking lame and lazy, and it just says, a naive young boy unknowingly becomes the pawn of a serial killer. Not giving it justice.
But that is accurate.
It's accurate, but it's so much more. Justin, this was your first time seeing this movie, wasn't it?
Sure was.
Ooh, what'd you think? Did it live up to all the promises that I made?
Well, So earlier, I noted that this wasn't really a horror film, and I'll be honest with you, like, I have a loose definition of horror, so it is still a horror film to me, but it's more of a comedy than anything else, because it's fucking hilarious. I have to admit that of these three films, it was definitely by far the one I liked the most. While I have a spot in my heart for Trick or Treat, this one is actually a much more enjoyable film for me. And just like it's just fun. Like, honestly, it's just a fun movie. From the moment that the Satan character comes on screen, he's hilarious, and the kid is just perfect in his role. And honestly, I kind of liked everything about this movie. I wouldn't say it's like, you know, gonna ever be a top 10 film for me, but it sure is one that I plan to revisit every year in October moving forward.
Yeah, Blake, had you seen this before?
No.
Why hadn't you seen it, man? Didn't you see that awesome cover art on that DVD back at Blockbuster forever ago?
That cover is good, but like, and I do say, I was laughing out loud and enjoying the hell out of that 9-year-old kid and his, like, love of murder and love of all that stuff. That part was great. And I was like, this is good. And then at some point they stopped doing that. And it just kind of fell off for me. I was like, wait. And I wanted it to be some supernatural thing. And when it just did that, there's a serial killer, and that's all that's really going on, that's when I was like, damn it. This is lame. And that, her boyfriend, wow, he is a terrible actor.
So bad.
Yeah, that's true. I said there was nothing bad about this movie. I loved it all. I will say, even though I like him because he kind of works as a terrible actor, he is definitely not good.
And but you know, I guess the Amanda Plummer. So we get Honey Bunny in this movie,
right?
And she just acts fucking weird, like she's not doing drugs anymore or something, and she's like being all weird and sexy with her daughter. I mean, there's some weird shit going on with their relationship that's like made me feel uncomfortable. And I like feeling uncomfortable in movies, but I just was like, I want to know why people are doing what they're doing and what's going on. And I think it left me unresolved. I just wanted that kid to enjoy murdering with Satan. And I wanted there to be, I wanted him to be actually Satan. I don't know. This film did not deliver on a lot of things I was set up with.
Yeah.
But well, I did. I loved it when the kid was having fun with Satan. I was like, this kid kicked. I liked him a lot. Yeah. He was also in Palindromes.
Yes. Yeah. No, it is that same kid. Yeah, because there's another, which I think is a very funny through line on these films, that these all have people that have gone on to do actual things. Like, as much as these are like a complete, like, you know, cult movie episode. Everybody's done stuff. Outside of the guy who played Alex, I think he's literally the only person in this movie that it hasn't been consistently working. But, yeah, no, like, for me, like, yeah, all that Amanda Plummer stuff, like, where she's, like, I don't know, she's, like, a, like, kind of, like, hitting on her daughter and her boyfriend, that's all really weird. Nothing is cohesive in a way that I like, which is another one of those things that I always am a sucker for, to be like, they didn't even bother making this one movie. Because it does take like a complete break where you're like with awful characters for a while. But every time you get back to the little boy falling around his little devil helper, it is so much fun to me. Like, it's, I love that they do like the gag. Of course, you kill someone and you just leave them on the porch. There's more like weird incesty sort of stuff that is super out of place in a film made in 2004, not 1987. But I love it, man. I think it's really goofy. I love that it's based around what looks like the world's shittiest video game. And yeah. I like that everyone keeps calling the game gay. Which I think is funny, because I am a, like, 14-year-old still, and will laugh every single time.
To be fair, a 14-year-old in, like, the 90s. Still.
Like, a 14-year-old when I was 14.
Right, exactly. They call that arrested development. You should look that
up. Yeah, yeah. Anyway. I huffed a bunch of shit in my teenage years, so I'll blame it on VHS cleaner.
Yeah. You know, something else that... You bringing this up, it made me think of, is the fact that, like, you know, the weird incesty stuff. So it's not incesty, but just the fact that, like, when the guy comes back and she thinks it's her boyfriend, and he just starts groping her in front of the little boy. And the little boy's like cheering her on, cheering the guy on. He's like, yeah, yeah.
He's like, raper, raper.
Oh my God, it was so fucking weird.
it's really weird. Like, it doesn't, I think maybe it's because of, like I mention it all the time, but movies that feel like aliens trying to reproduce humans in movies, this is another one of those things where they're like, this is what this kid would do, and it doesn't make any sense. We'll be right back.
The most disturbing thing is when they try to make a man a plumber like a sexy thing. It's like, that's not right, man. This is just weird.
I think a man a plumber is sexy.
She reminds me of trying to pick something out from underneath my toenail that I'm not sure if it's actually something on a mark on the inside of my toenail or if it's something. And that's all I think
about. I always think she's like a kind of like a drag queen that didn't quite put her makeup on right.
Yes, that's right, honey bunny.
Yeah.
I see, I only think of her as one thing, and that's as the sister in So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Well, yeah.
And that doesn't make her sexy at all.
No, I'm about to say, like, how does that make it any better? I'm just
because when they introduce her, she's naked.
Oh, well, yeah, but
you don't actually see anything, and I don't think of her as sexy now. Yeah, I think of her as psycho. But.
You know, the porn, there's porn on the internet, right?
There's Amanda Plummer porn on the internet.
Yeah. There probably is.
Similar to ET porn.
Ooh, I like ET porn.
Man, you just compared Amanda Plummer to ET. That's rough, man.
I'm pretty mean. I'm sorry.
You are pretty mean. I feel bad for poor Amanda Plummer.
I feel bad for ET. Yeah.
He got home.
Yeah, I just Googled ET porn.
Oh, dude, you shouldn't do that. You should not do that.
I just Googled ET porn. Speaking of marking things,
I'm very distracted.
I'm not saying I'm cutting it out. I'm saying that I'm cutting it and using it in every promo that I ever make for the podcast.
I think you guys should just do an entire episode on ET porn. It is the most horrific thing on the internet.
Dude, I'm watching cuts from it, and it is disturbing.
And it lives up to that.
Yeah, and like it's it keeps saying I miss my home planet. Like there's like a little gif of E.T. getting railed out by this dude, and it keeps just looping the words I miss my home planet.
Wow.
So what are we going to talk about? Buried Alive?
I don't think we're playing any E.T. porn this year, right?
No, E.T. porn did not make the cut this year. We're saving that for a big anniversary year.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's that 20-year anniversary celebration, am I correct?
Exactly. We'll do a 100-year anniversary screening of Nosferatu followed up by all-night ET porn.
And you know what's crazy about all that? I would much rather watch the ET porn.
The Nosferatu?
Yeah, Nosferatu is fucking... What a boring-ass movie.
But when you have a beautiful jazz band doing the score to it.
Oh, no. Okay, with Sonata, I would be way into it. And speaking of Sonata... Tell us about that event going on this year at Bath.
Friday night at 10:30, Sonata, a local jazz fusion psychedelic outer space band, they're going to be doing the soundtrack to The Call of Cthulhu, the 2005 silent film that was produced by the H.P. Lovecraft Historical Society, which is a crazy great film. They had the great idea of, why don't we make The Call of Cthulhu similar to how it would have been made when H.P. Lovecraft was alive. And so this great silent film, they don't use any like new modern digital techniques to like make everything come alive. It's all done with great like effects from back in the day.
Yeah, and this is one thing I always like to emphasize when we do these silent film screenings, especially if you haven't seen these films, this is the optimal way to watch them. So even if you're not a fan of silent film, this is, I mean, to me, it elevates it to something that is incredibly entertaining and worth it.
Yeah, no, so I'll attest to that as like my first experience with that last year coming in to see, they did The Golem, and God, that was freaking awesome. And I've tried to watch The Golem since, and I don't really care about it. So, If I could take a movie that I don't care at all about and turn it into something that was an incredible experience, that says a lot.
It's good stuff. I think, and then Samada does a really great job. They get a hold of these the print months in advance, and they really spend a lot of time really creating their own original score for these films, and they really enjoy it. And it's awesome watching and listening to what they do.
Awesome. And so since we're talking about special events, what are some of the other special screenings and special events going on at BAFTA this year?
Saturday night at 10 o'clock, we are having a screening of the trauma classic, The Toxic Avenger, with our the ghouls and gals from Blastoff Burlesque, Atlanta's award-winning burlesque team that comes out and they put on an amazing burlesque show before the movie that is inspired by the film. So it's great to watch their whole inspired show that does the movie, but then watch the movie right afterwards. It's awesome. It's a hoot. The way they what they put on every year, it'll makes the whole crowd laugh. It's great.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun, and they're not. You know, when I hear the word burlesque, I'm thinking of like just some strip teasing and whatnot, and I'm not thinking of what they are, which is just an amazing, essentially, like physical comedy troupe that just knows how to do a show, man.
They're yeah, amazing. Exactly. It's not burlesque in any sort of a way you think about burlesque, but they know how to dance and they know how to have fun and put on a great show and tell a story, and it's fun. It's just simply a lot of fun. And I think them, their sensibilities and their style that they put on will match up perfectly to a movie like The Toxic Avenger. And I love seeing The Toxic Avenger with a crowd. It's the best. Kids are going to love it.
Man, watching Toxic Avenger on a big screen is one of the things I'm most excited to look forward to, because I haven't seen it on a big screen in like a decade. So, dude, this is going to be super awesome. And once again, the best way to watch a movie, especially if you haven't seen it before.
And I'd say, you know, if you're a young person who's just thinking about starting to make movies and get involved in filmmaking, Toxic Avenger is one of those films that will inspire you to want to make movies. That's what it did to me, because I watched Toxic Avenger, and then I watched I read Lloyd Kaufman's book, Everything I Need to Know About Filmmaking, I learned from watching The Toxic Avenger, and it's totally true. It made me want to go out there and make a freaking movie, and Toxic Avenger is inspiring that way, so I hope a lot of people come out and see it for their first time.
Yeah, come out and see Trauma before it became like synonymous with crap, because this is a golden era. You'll see why. Our whole generation loves the shit out of Trauma and is very forgiving of a lot of other things.
Yeah. I mean, if you've just seen, you know, the last few Trauma releases, this is definitely a must watch to understand why people our age, and by our age, I mean those of us in, you know, above the age of what, mid-20s.
Young men.
You know, I don't know that we're young anymore, buddy. That said, besides a couple cool special events, you guys are screening some great films as well. I think you guys, like, I'm not part of this because I've watched several of them and been part of this as well. But what are some of the films? I guess I'll pass to Blaine for a minute, since Blaine is the features programmer. What are some of the films that we'll be showing that are the full-length features?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of the big ones that are starting out at the beginning is you got on Thursday night, we're going to be, our opening feature is going to be Antrim, which is to be playing at 9:30 p.m. So cool. Yeah, it is such a cool kind of combination of like mockumentary and homage film about a movie that was supposedly lost in the 70s, and if you watch it, it kills you. But that besides that part, it's just an eerie, creepy homage to like satanic 70s films, and it's shot beautifully. It's a really high quality sort of film, and it's the way you should be packaging these homages. It's not a bunch of fake grain or anything like that. It's very true to the era. But doesn't have to like completely rub your nose in it with like a bunch of shit like that. And then on Friday night, we're going to be showing a movie that I'm super excited to see how everyone reacts to it. And that's Joe Bagos' new film, VFW, which if you don't know about it, it is by far, I think, the most violent movie of 2019 by a mile.
It's up there.
Yeah. So along with that, and then we'll be also showing... A fun...
Sorry, I'm sorry. Yo. You got to tell them who is in VFW.
Yeah. We can't glaze over that cast, man.
Yeah, no, that cast is insane.
It might be easier. It might be easier to name the people not in the movie.
Right, pretty much everyone you can think of from 70s film. But I mean, you got everyone from Stephen Lang, Martin Cove, William Sadler. You've got Fred the Hammer Williamson, Graham Skipper. So I mean, it's bonkers. I mean, you're talking
David Patrick Kelly.
Yeah.
Come out and play,
yay! Dude, it is such an insane cast, man. Like, everyone you want to see from that era that's still alive is in this movie. I mean, it's based around a bunch of Vietnam vets hanging out and then going under siege by basically mutant punks. So, it feels like something that could also be straight out of, you know, early Troma as well, but with an incredibly like dark tinge to it. And then, I mean, throughout the rest of the festival, you're going to be seeing things like The Wretched, which is a great kind of throwback to like Lost Boys kind of movies. We've got a documentary, J.R. Dobbs and the Church of the Subgenius, which is all based around the weirdo faux religion movement out of Austin. So there's a little bit of just about everything that you want to see, as well as local films like Hellbound and Those Who Deserve to Die, which is from the director of Psychopathus Sexualis, which is fucking fantastic movie from the early 2000s. So, I mean, there's a huge variety of features to be able to see. And I don't want to forget about, I don't know, it's up there. I love all these movies, but Porno, which is like the patron saint of this year's festival, in my opinion, which is a batshit crazy, over-the-top kind of splatter comedy about a bunch of youth group kids working in a movie theater in the 90s that find an old satanic porno reel that lets loose a porno demon that they have to defeat. So, like I said,
you know
really a little bit of everything.
About that film? You know what's really crazy about that film? I lived that film.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just going to say. And I lived through it, as you could tell. But, I mean, I survived it. It's just crazy. But, no, in all seriousness, I think that it's just such a sick lineup. Really great features. But I want to ask you, Blake, maybe to mention some of the great shorts that are playing. Because those are kind of your babies. You really, really love those short films.
Oh, for sure, man. Love some short films. You know, one of the films that blew me away this year, short films, was Dead Animals. And it was a Swiss film that it's about taxidermy. And it's one of those movies where you started off and you're like, I don't know if we can show this. I think they broke the cardinal rule. Like, you're not allowed to have dead animals in the movie. And then by the end of the film, I was basically in tears. And thinking, this is one of the most touching, emotionally great films I've ever seen submitted to Buried Alive. And the title of the film says it all, Dead Animals. I can't tell y'all more. You got to see that movie. Fantastic. We got a lot of great locally made animations from Lizard Queen, Ouija Board. There's a ton of animation in this year's festival. Spanish animation, too. Lenoria, just amazing CGI animation, all the way down to just really raw stop-motion animation with Toe. That's one of the newer films that we have as well. Lots of international. You know, our features are all American this year, except for maybe one. But a lot of it's very much an international shorts collection. By far.
Oh, yeah, and let's not leave out a local favorite of mine, Budfoot, from James Sizemore.
We'll play right before VHS. James Sizemore, Tim Rice, I'm sorry. And, Budfoot is fucking hilarious. It's about a toy maker who has created his toy, but it's coming to life and is trying to kill him, and he's made of wheat as well. And it's based loosely on James Sizemore's own career as an independent toy maker. He makes movies under the name, or toys under the name Wonder Goblin. And can't wait to see that with a crowd. Night of the Fluffit, that's another great movie about like Muppets coming to life with their fluffets. And don't stick your hand up their ass.
Wow. And we actually we have an episode we recorded that hasn't actually gone up yet with a friend of mine named Dan Tabor, and one of his films, Hinoko-san, is going to be playing. So that's pretty freaking cool.
I love the live action mixed with animation, and that just gets gnarly.
It does get really gnarly. And you know, I've known Dan for a few years, and I never realized he was a director. We started talking, and I was like, holy shit. And I watched this film, and I was like, oh, we gotta submit this, you know. So I'm really stoked to get to, you know, see how an audience you know, responds with that one. And you know, it's really just a lot of really great stuff from the shorts, the features, the events. You know,
I would like to mention really quick that James Calvin Lee Reeder will be returning to Buried Alive this year. He won the What the Fuck Award 2 years ago with The Procedure, and now we're showing The Procedure Part 2. So a man is forced to endure yet another strange experiment.
It is amazing. It's the sequel to probably, I would say that's the short that stuck with me the most over all the years.
And, you know, if you haven't had a chance to watch The Procedure, it's a good, nice 4-minute little short film. You can watch it online. The Procedure by Calvin Lee Reeder. You'll love it.
And that's a good transition right there. We usually leave all our pods off with some recommendations for the people listening. And, you know, there's one right there with The Procedure, a great short film that's a winner of the What the Fuck Award. So clearly go into that expecting it to be a little bizarre. Blaine, did you have any recommendations for our folks, whether they're Bath alums or just Halloweeny things for folks who are listening, you know, that haven't had enough Halloween by now?
Well, I mean, at this point, I think we've recommended a lot of stuff. So, I mean, my recommendation is the Buried Alive Film Festival. Go to the buriedalivefilmfest.com. Free up your dates for November 13th through the 17th at Seven Stages Theater in Little Five Points area of Atlanta. So I'm sticking with that, man. I think we've given people enough things to look up and enjoy this Halloween.
I think you're right. Yeah, I agree. But I would want to toss it back to Blake to see if there's anything else he's going to tell people to check out.
You might think there's been enough said, but there's still more to be said. I just wanted to point out that we are showing a world premiere this year of the director's cut of Mark of the Beast, The Legacy of the Universal Werewolf, a documentary about, you know, Universal werewolves. And Daniel Griffith, who's made all of the awesome additional content for Arrow Blu-rays. He makes all of the Arrow documentaries. He's a local filmmaker here, and this is going to be the world premiere of his own cut of the feature documentary about the Universal Werewolf. That's going to be badass.
Dude. That's a good point. Actually, a really cool situation with that is that he was telling me that he's literally never gotten to screen any of his stuff with his like family and friends in attendance, so he's really friggin' stoked.
Nice. So you interviewed him. Great.
Yeah, I got to talk to him briefly not too long ago. So, yeah. So, you know, and I think what I'll just leave off with my recommendation, which is BAFF-related as well, it's almost like there's a theme here, is that any of you who are listening who happen to be fellow podcasters or writers, please hit us up because we would love anyone who wants to talk to any of the filmmakers, check out some of the films, and, you know, be part of our crazy-ass festival, you know, hit us up. So, yeah.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan, indeed. Blaine, tell the good folks all the good final things that you always do.
Well, thank you guys all for listening to another episode. I appreciate you guys. Make sure, once again, you're going to buriedalivefilmfest.com and following all the continued announcements, any other additional information. Make sure you're buying your tickets there, and we will see you guys in a couple weeks. Peace.